So it's good to be here this morning. I don't think there's anywhere quite like the Lord's house, is there? Where God can meet our need, can minister to us release and power. We believe in a living God. Amen. That God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think. That God is real and He's here this morning to speak to us. I'm going to speak on a very, very familiar passage. In John chapter 3, and I'm sure that some of you will automatically kind of go on to autopilot, you know, the story of Nicodemus, everybody knows it, but I want to encourage you this morning that God is the speaking God, that His mercies are new every morning, and that He's able to speak to us from even a passage that we've read and studied many times before. I just really felt this is where God wanted me to go this morning. And I'm not going to make any apologies for that. And just pray that God would speak to us afresh. Okay, so let's read through chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. And then we'll pray. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came by night to him and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God, a teacher. For no one can do these signs or attesting miracles that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? Truly, truly I say to you, we are speaking that which we are knowing, and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And everyone, whoever believes, may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes into him shall not perish, but have life eternal. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge or condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged or condemned. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed into the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Let's pray. Father, this is your word, Lord. Lord, I am but a frail earthen vessel. Lord, you know that, Lord, it is my heart to minister Jesus this morning through the Holy Spirit. And I just ask you, Lord, to speak through me this morning. I confess, Lord, I am a man in need. And I pray, Lord, that you pour out your Spirit to us this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We invite you to come and speak to us, Lord. Lord, I believe that there are people in this room that you want to speak to. You are the speaking God. As Jesus affirmed in these words, Lord, we pray, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, this is a very familiar passage to many of us. I pray, Lord, that it would come alive in a new way today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning about being born again. And we live in a culture, don't we, a society where many people claim to be born again. I think Jimmy Carter was the first president to proclaim it. I'm not saying he isn't born again. But after him, there were many, many politicians and different people who've claimed to be born again. But I want to speak this morning and kind of lay out this idea that if a person is born again, it's going to radically change their life. Think about this for a second. Paul Washer puts it this way. If we were walking down a street and we were crossing the road and we were hit by a semi, we would be changed. Agreed? We would be changed. Even if it was going slowly, we would be changed. How much more powerful is God than a piece of equipment? Right? If we have an encounter with a living God, our lives will be different. If God is birthed in us, then we should be different. Amen? That God wants to do this for us, that our lives should be different. We should have different appetites, different desires, different passions driving us. If God has truly been birthed in us, then we should be different people. I hope you believe that. I believe that God wants to come and radically bring us into His kingdom. That His kingdom is light. It says in First Epistle of John chapter 1 that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. So when we encounter this living God who is full of light, our lives will be different. And at the end of that passage, Jesus talks about how people are scared to come to the light because the light will expose the darkness. And I believe that's what God wants to do. It sounds terrible, doesn't it? But it's a wonderful thing that God loves us enough to want to get to the root of our lives. He loves us enough to want to expose sin and darkness and uncleanness and satanic influences. He wants to get to the core of who we are so that we can truly begin to live the lives that He has for us. You know, many people say, well, I've tried Christianity or I've tried the born again thing and it didn't work for me. And I would say, well, if you've tried and it didn't work, it probably never happened. Right? Because when God comes into our lives, things are different. Are we perfect? No. We have to grow in grace. So there's lots of scriptures that talk about growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of Jesus. But the fact is that when God comes into a man or a woman's life, He is going to make a difference. I hope you believe that. That's what I believe God has for us this morning. That this great imperative that He said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. It wasn't a mild word. He wasn't suggesting that, hey, Nicodemus, maybe you should try this. You know, you've tried a lot of other things and maybe just give this a try. No, Nicodemus received a command from God. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, right? We all know the verse, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. And so He's saying the same thing today that He spoke 2,000 years ago. He comes to us and He sees our sin, our problems, our pride, our uncleanness. And He says, you must be born again. Amen. This is what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to experience what it truly means to have God birthed in our dead spirit. That our dead spirit would come alive and would experience what the Bible teaches as regeneration. It's not reformation, but God wants to regenerate us. He wants to put within us the spirit of His Son so that our dead spirits come alive in Jesus. And this is what we've been missing our whole lives long. It's what we've been struggling with. It's why our reforms and our promises and our resolutions don't work, because we don't have the power to be different. We have what's called an old man, a nature that we inherited from Adam that Jesus wants to crucify. I talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago. This is kind of a follow-on from that sermon. Now, what have we got to do to experience this kind of life? And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. We know things about Nicodemus, don't we? He was the ruler of the Sanhedrin. He was educated. He was intelligent. He was articulate. He was wealthy. People looked up to him as a good man. He was a teacher, so people relied on him for spiritual truth. And here he is, one dark night. He finds his way to Jesus. I think that's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful that Nicodemus knew enough where to go to have his questions answered? And I want to suggest to you that maybe some of you are like this. Maybe you've been coming here for years. Maybe you know the scriptures. Maybe you know what it is to be religious, and people look at your life and say, wow, they're a good person. They know how to live. And yet inside, you're not satisfied. There's something missing. There's something in your life that you know that, you know, I need something more. I need something more than just religion, more than just Bible verses, more than just to know how to live and what to do, but I need something inside of me. I need something real, something that's going to give me power, something that's going to change me. And so Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and I believe he came at night because Jesus was alone. And sometimes, you know, we need to get alone with Jesus. All the noise and activity, all of the crowds and the busyness. And Nicodemus came and he stood before Jesus. You know, he really didn't even ask him a question, did he? He just sort of acknowledged that Jesus was a great man. He said to him, Rabbi, which wasn't the highest, it wasn't the highest address he could have given Jesus, but he said, Rabbi or teacher, we know that you have come from a God, a teacher. For no one can do these signs or attesting miracles unless God is with him. Nicodemus recognized that God was with Jesus. And I wonder if there was kind of a pause in the conversation as Nicodemus sort of stood there and allowed Jesus to begin to speak into his life. And Jesus answered him. And I believe that when we come to Jesus, if we come in sincerity, if we come alone at night, maybe on our own, that Jesus will answer us. He will answer us. He's faithful. If we come, Jesus said, I will answer. When you call, I will answer and show you great and marvelous things. That's Jeremiah 33:3. When you call, I will answer. It doesn't say I might answer, or I may be answered if I feel like it, but it's a covenant promise that when we draw nigh to Jesus, He will draw nigh to us. I want to encourage you, whatever situation you're in, maybe you feel like it's night and you can't see anything, come to Jesus. Lay your heart before Him. Nicodemus came with no agenda. He just came and said, Jesus, there's something about you that's attracting me. I'm drawn to you. And Jesus began to speak to him into the very depths of his being. Amazing. I was reading this weekend about a lady in Pakistan called Gulnoza. And she was Muslim. She grew up Muslim. And as she read the Quran, it's a different... I know I've told a story about another Muslim woman. This is a different woman. And as she began to read the Quran, she was crippled on her left side. She'd had a stroke as a young child. She began to pray. And she read something about Jesus in the Quran. And something about that word began to distill in her heart. And she began to pray, Jesus, Jesus, will you come and heal me? And she began to read. There's another book of the Quran that has more about Jesus and says that he's the son of Mary. So she began to call out to Jesus, the son of Mary. And gradually she began to pray more to Jesus than to Allah. And as she prayed to Jesus one night in her bedroom, she felt the bedroom lighten. And she thought someone had come in and turned the light on. She couldn't move because she was a cripple. She was paralyzed on her left side. And she felt this presence in the room, and she heard the voice of Jesus saying, come to me, come to me. And she got out of her bed, and as she came to Jesus, she felt her body healed. She was completely healed. You can read the book. It's called The Torn Veil. It's acknowledged by her family, who are not Christians, all of them. They all acknowledged it was a complete miracle. She'd been healed. This woman simply came to Jesus. Are you willing to come to Jesus? Are you willing to come to Him? to lay down all religion and pride and human endeavor and just come to Jesus. It's not about how much we know. Jesus is inviting us to come. Come to me. We could think of Matthew 11. Can we come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm gentle and lowly. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus is inviting us to come to him? And Jesus said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't even begin to see God's kingdom unless you are born again, or born from above, or the Greek word means to be born anew. And this was confusing to Nicodemus, wasn't it? And there's three stages. This is not my thought, a commentary I was reading, and I thought it was really good. It says Nicodemus comes first of all, and they talk face to face. And then the second stage is Nicodemus and Jesus talk mind to mind. And then the last part is Nicodemus and Jesus talk heart to heart, as Jesus begins to unfold the wonder, the breathless wonder of God's love, and how he had come to make a way for him. And so this first section, it's mind to mind. Nicodemus says, his first question, how can a man be born again when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Nicodemus is trying to figure this out. Jesus is saying, you have to be born again. There has to be a definite, when he says again, it's aorist tense, it's a definite time. And it's also in the passive tense. It means that you're acted upon by an outward force. We can't birth ourselves. Just no more than a baby can birth itself from its mother. Right? I've had 5 children. I've been there for each one. It's an amazing process, but the babies aren't fighting to get out, are they? The mother is pushing out the baby. Right? They're being acted upon by an outward force. This is what this word means, to be born again. It's a definite thing. There is a birth. And it's by an outward influence. It's passive on the behalf of the one who receives it. That God births us into his kingdom. We don't do it ourselves. God has to do it for us. Amen. I hope you believe that. You know, we know some churches, you check the boxes and they say, now you're saved. No. God is the one who saves us. He's the one who brings us into his kingdom. He's the one who takes us from the kingdom of darkness and places us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Isn't that wonderful? It's not dependent on our own works. It's grace all the way. Amen. And so Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter into his mother a second time? How can it be? How can this happen? And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter or even see the kingdom of God. And what do these two things mean? A man must be born of water and of Spirit. Well, if we cast our minds back and turn back a few chapters, we'll see that John the Baptist was baptizing people, immersing them in the River Jordan. They were repenting for remission of sins, weren't they? And so Jesus is pointing back to the fact that there are two parts to this. We have to repent. We have to turn away. And the second part is that the Spirit has to come and dwell in our spirit. It's an incredible miracle that God can actually come and somehow be born in this earthen vessel, this tent that God has given us. It's amazing, isn't it? Waters of repentance and the Spirit to regenerate. Becoming a Christian is really simple, isn't it? We don't have to know a bunch of facts and details. We don't have to go through a special process and have a man in a strange hat lay hands on us, or we don't have to learn a bunch of verses, right? Jesus says, waters of repentance and the Spirit to regenerate. It's amazing. And then we're new creatures in Christ. We're new creatures. God is birthed within us, and we can begin to live out the life God has for us. Nicodemus, this religious man, was astounded. How can it be? And Jesus was telling, this is how it can be. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know, my flesh is always going to be my flesh, right? This is always going to be the way it is. It's going to decay. I'm going to get older. And eventually my body's going to wear out and I'm going to die. Flesh is always flesh. I know that some people are very sensitive about the word older, but I'm using it in reference to myself, right? I'm going to get old and die. But God is regenerating my spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, though our outward man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. This is the walk of the Christian, that God's spirit within us is renewed day by day. We sang this morning, didn't we, about being renewed. It's not an initial baptism. It's a Titus 3:5, where God says the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That God wants His Spirit within us to kind of bubble up and arise. Jesus spoke about it in John 7:37 when He said that if you believe in Me, out of your inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. Isn't that wonderful? This is what God wants to do for us, that when we're birthed into His kingdom, that He begins a work that is an initial birthing. But then after that, as we grow, as we love, as we obey, God begins to pour out more and more of His Spirit, so that His Spirit becomes within us like a little spring that springs up to life eternal. And He says, if you believe in Him, that spring will flow rivers of living water from our inmost being. Because my inmost being was dead before Jesus made me alive. Romans chapter 2, I was dead in sin. And God birthed me into His kingdom. And so as He puts within us His Spirit, and we obey and love and surrender to the Holy Spirit, that Spirit begins to grow within us, and we begin to experience the life that God has for us. It's amazing what God wants to do with us. He wants to put Himself in us, so that when we're born again, we're born into His kingdom. And as we live and obey, we walk in that kingdom. As it says in Galatians 5, if we live in the sphere of the Spirit, right, we shall have dominion over sin. We shall know what it is to walk in victory. We shall know what it is to walk in communion with the living God. This is what God has for us, His people. This is so much more than just religion. And Nicodemus knew it. He was more religious than any of us. So much more than religion. And one of the great dangers is, isn't it, of raising children in church, is that it becomes so habituated to them. They become so accustomed to the thought that they're Christian. Because mom and dad love Jesus. Now, I know I'm safe because mom and dad love Jesus. But this is so much more. We can't trust our parents to save us. We can't trust Bible verses to save us. We have to have an encounter with the living God. And it will drive out Satan. Jesus will not share you. He's a jealous God. Jesus will not possess you and allow the devil to possess you at the same time. When Jesus comes, He comes as King of your heart. And so when we come to Jesus, we come on His terms for utter and total surrender. If you want to be born again today, you have to come on Jesus' terms. Total and utter surrender to the King of Kings. Let's keep reading. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we have a flesh. And only the Holy Spirit can regenerate our spirit. Only God can do this. We cannot do it for ourselves. The Spirit is Spirit. Verse 7, Jesus said, Nicodemus, don't marvel, don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born again. And this word must, it's a forceful word. It means it is necessary. It is unavoidable. It is urgent. It is compulsory. I believe the Lord is speaking this to us this morning. You must be born again. There's no time for wasting. There's no time for dilly-dallying and playing with the world on one hand and following God for a week and then drifting off into the world on the other hand. God doesn't want us to be taking drugs and following Jesus. He doesn't want us to be looking at pornography and following Jesus. He doesn't want us to be beating our wives or being cruel and unkind and following Jesus. This is an ultimate term. This is unavoidable. It is compulsory for a man who wants to live for Jesus, a woman who wants to live for Jesus, that they must be born again. It's not an optional extra. We must be born again. I believe that God wants to declare war on sin in our lives. Many of us trying to live two ways, walk two paths. You know, wanting to say, oh Lord, I want to follow you. And then the next day, stumbling into gross sin. Brothers and sisters, this should not be so, as it says in the book of James. Things like bitterness and envy and pride. These are things that cause us to stumble and fall. God says these things must not be. God is looking for a holy people, a people who are born again into His kingdom and then live lives that faithfully reflect how good and great He is. Amen. I know we need this. We need the Spirit to have free and full reign in our lives so that we can live lives that faithfully represent what Jesus said when He said you must be born again. That we're not mixed with the world. We're not mixed with the love of money and love of ease and selfishness and gross sin. God wants us to be clean. He wants us to follow Him wholeheartedly. Amen. Verse 8 says, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And He was saying to Nicodemus, He was giving him an example in a physical realm. Saying, Nicodemus, you maybe don't understand this. You can't see the Spirit, but you can't see the wind. And yet you can see what the wind is doing. Maybe it was a cool, breezy night when they were standing. Many times people met on rooftops. Maybe they're on the top of a house and the wind was blowing. And Jesus often took illustrations from things around Him, didn't He? He said, Nicodemus, think about the wind. Can you see the wind? No. But you can see what the wind can do. Right? It's the same for the Spirit. We can't see the Spirit, but we can see what the Spirit can do. Maybe Jesus was alluding to the sailboats that harnessed the power of the wind. He was saying, listen, this is what the Spirit can do in your life. If you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit can take you to places that you've never imagined or dreamed about before. The wind blows where it will. And so it is with the Spirit. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. We have a new power working in our lives. We have a new wind, a new power that's blowing us, that's controlling us, that's possessing us and empowering us. The power of the Holy Spirit. And so then Jesus takes Nicodemus deeper. That was mind to mind. In verse 9, Nicodemus is again, he said, oh, how can these things be? Now there's a wonder to that question, isn't there? He's not saying, but what about this? Or what about if I go back into my mother? His mind is just saying, Lord, how can these things be? And so Nicodemus, he unveils his heart to Jesus. And Jesus begins to unveil His heart to Nicodemus. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. I know we're so familiar. Jesus in verse 10 answers him and says, are you the teacher? There's emphasis on that word in Greek. Are you the teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things. Truly, truly, I say to you, verse 11, and Jesus, He breaks into plural. He's speaking of Himself in the plural. And the tense there is present continuous. So I'm going to change it a little bit. It says this, we are speaking that which we know or are knowing. and we bear witness of that which we have seen, and you all do not receive our witness. And this is the thing that I believe that God spoke to my heart, that Jesus is working with His Father and His Holy Spirit. In this moment, He says, we are speaking. And I believe this morning that God is speaking. Right? That God is the speaking God. He's not like the idols and statues that have no mouth. God is speaking to us this morning. He already has through His Word, inviting people to come. He's speaking to us this morning. He's saying, we are bearing witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. And that word receive means to take to yourself. And I believe the Lord is here this morning. And we are witnesses. Those of us whose lives have changed. Mike shared about his life a little bit this morning. I'm so glad that I didn't know Mike back in those days. He shared a few stories. I mean, this guy was crazy. I mean, he was insane, doing things that a parent would never want their child to do. Hitchhiking to Denver and being attacked and all kinds of strange and wild things in his tight pink pants and his long black hair. But we are witnesses of how God can change a life. Amen? We're witnesses. We're saying, look, I was once lost, but now I'm found. If God can save me, He can save anyone. If God can save us, He can save anyone. Now, I don't know this man Robert who's here this morning, but I know that God can save him. I'm convinced in my soul that no matter what problems we are facing, that God is bigger than our problems. Hallelujah, that no matter what sin we're facing, that God is bigger than our sin. And as Jesus said, we are speaking, we are witnessing that God is greater. Amen? God is bigger than evil spirits. God is bigger than drug addictions. God is bigger than pornography and unclean thoughts and lustings. God is bigger than the lure of addictions and sin. Amen? This is what Jesus is saying. We are witnessing of what we have seen, but you do not receive our witness. I want to urge you this morning, receive Jesus' witness that He is greater than all of your problems. Receive His witness. Verse 12, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Amen. I'm just talking about earthly things. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And we in our minds would have thought, well, there's no point carrying on, Jesus. You've tried. But Jesus, He keeps on going, doesn't He? He begins to share from the very heart of God. He begins to speak some of the most sublime and amazing verses in the whole Bible to a man who He said, you're not receiving my witness, but I'm going to share my heart with you anyway. I'm going to share with you from the very depths of my heart. He says, no one has ascended into heaven, but He who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. He said, I've been to heaven, and now I'm here. I'm the Son of Man. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must, there's that word again, it's compulsory, it's unavoidable. The word is day, it's a compulsion. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I want to talk a little bit about the serpent in the wilderness. If we cast our minds back, the children of Israel were wandering in the desert, weren't they? Just like some of us, wandering in the desert. They were complaining about God. God, why is this happening to me? God, this is all your fault. We're in this dry land and it's boring and the food isn't very good and we're tired of wandering about in this desert. Maybe your soul feels like that. There's a desert inside. And you're beginning to grumble against God. And so God sends down fiery snakes, doesn't He, that bite people and the people dying. There was thousands dying. It's a picture of sin, isn't it? How sin comes to destroy us. John 10:10, there is one who comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's what Satan wants to do in your life, to destroy you. And those serpents were slithering through the camp, biting people and destroying. They began to cry out to God. And that's what God wants. He wants us to cry out to Him. When we're in difficult places, when we're being bitten by the serpent, when we're dying, we realize, God, unless You intervene, I'm going to die. I need You. They begin to cry out to God. And so God tells Moses to cast a bronze serpent, doesn't He? So he melts down some metal and he casts in the sand a bronze serpent. He takes the serpent, he ties it to a staff, and he says, anybody who looks to that serpent is going to be healed. Remember that story? And so Jesus is comparing what He's going to do on the cross a little later on. Son of Man must be lifted up. And those people had to turn away. It's a picture of repentance again. They had to turn away from their grumbling, their God-hating, their anger. They had to turn away and look to that serpent. And as they gazed upon that serpent, they had to look with faith, believing that God was going to do it. So again, those themes of repentance and faith. And as they looked upon that serpent, picture of Jesus taking our sins, they were healed. I want to encourage you this morning, look to Jesus. He is your healer. I know I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, but it just keeps coming over again. Matt read it this morning. Jesus is our healer. It means the one who binds up. You know, we're broken. Our hearts are torn apart. And Jesus wants to be our healer. I'm going to heal you. Look to Me. I can heal you. I can heal you no matter what it is. I am your healer. And then verse 15, that everyone, isn't that wonderful? That's a broad everyone, isn't it? Everyone, religious, non-religious, sinner, educated, uneducated, everyone who believes in Him. And that word into is a very precise word. It's not just believing in Him mentally. The word there has to do with leaning. It talks about it's a word of motion. We believe into Him. We commit ourselves into His care. We take our hands off. It's like we're riding a horse and we take our hands off the reins. We say, God, You take me wherever You want to go. I'm surrendering to You. It's a word of surrender. When we believe in Jesus, we're believing into Him. We're giving Him everything. We're not just saying, yes, mentally, I understand there was a man called Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. But the word believe, it means to be persuaded and hence to place confidence in, to trust and rely upon. It implies knowledge and confidence. It implies faith. It's a cooperation of our minds, our hearts, our wills, our emotions. And we say, God, I believe in You. I believe You are who You say You are. I'm going to commit my life to You. I'm going to trust You to wash my sins away. I'm going to trust You for my future. I'm going to take my hands off of my life and surrender to You all that I have and all that I am. I place all that I have into Your care, believing that as I give myself to You, You give Yourself to me. And I get much, much more than I ever bargained for. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. That when we believe in Jesus, oh, it seems like such a big decision, doesn't it? Can we trust Him? Can we surrender all? Is He worthy to be trusted? In Luke 12:32, it says that the Father delights to give us the kingdom. I believe Jesus spoke that word to assure us that He's not angry. He's not a father that wants to play games with us and take away things from us. But He wants to be our Father and give us good things. And He's not willing to share us. He's a jealous God. Now, God wants all of us. He doesn't want us just to come on a Sunday or like Nicodemus, just be religious. But He wants us to come and be born again. He wants us to surrender everything we have so that He can put within us His Spirit. And I'm telling you, if you're born again, you will be different. Because if God is born in your spirit, you're going to have different appetites. You're going to want to be with God's people. You're going to want to read God's word. You're going to want to pray. I mean, these are signs, aren't they, that somebody truly is born again. Practical outworkings of what God has done in their hearts. You're going to find yourself worshiping. You're going to find different desires in your heart. Right? To be with God's people. Now, how is it in America so many people claim to be Christians and yet never go to church? Now, I know church can't save you, but wouldn't it make sense that if you're a believer, you're part of God's family, that you'd want to be with His family? Wouldn't that make sense? Right? If you're a Christian and you're born again and God lives in you, wouldn't it make sense that you actually want to read about God? Right? And wouldn't it make sense that if a baby's born again, I'm thinking of little Madeline here, as cute can be, but she has, she cries when she's hungry. Probably not too often. She's a pretty good baby, but she cries, right? She wakes up Josh in the night, or maybe Desiree does with an elbow, and she needs some. When we're born again, just like a human baby has desires, a spiritual birth is going to have desires. Maybe you need to really ask yourself, have I really been born again? Have I got these desires in my heart? Or am I just hoping that somehow my religion's going to save me? Jesus said, you must be born again. Maybe after church every week, you're like, I just don't get this. Well, you can't see the kingdom without being born again. Maybe you need to come in surrender and say, Lord Jesus, will you please have your way in my life and seek God until He does give you a new birth experience. You must be born again. Now, we know Nicodemus was a changed man. I haven't even got to John 3:16 yet. Maybe we'll have to do that next week. But Nicodemus was a changed man, wasn't he? We go through the book of John, we see there was no disciples. All those loud, noisy disciples that claimed, we'll never leave you, we'll never depart from you. They're all gone. Who was there to claim the body from Pilate? Remember, two people, right? Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Nicodemus got it. Isn't it wonderful? Nicodemus understood what it is to surrender to Jesus. Hallelujah. We haven't even got to, I can't believe that, we haven't even got to verse 16. For God so loved the world. Hallelujah. For God so loved us that He gave His Son. Oh, for God so agape loved us. The very same love that He had for Jesus, He has for you. And maybe you can't believe that. You look at your life and you think, how can God love me that much? How can God have the same desire for me as He has for His Son? John 15:9. This is the same love that I have for you. The same love my Father has for me, I have for you. Abide in my love. We haven't even got to that part yet. It's all because of love. Jesus did it for love. He said, you must be born again because I love you and I want you to be with me forever. You must be born again because I've died for you. You must be born again because I want you in my kingdom. Whosoever believes. Amen. Whosoever believes. Whosoever places their trust in Him shall be saved. We could go to so many verses. Romans 10:10. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. 1 John 2 at the beginning. The Lamb of God, the propitiation for the whole world. That includes you and me, doesn't it? Amen. You must be born again. I want to encourage you this morning. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, if you've never surrendered your life to Him properly, not as a child. I mean, I did as a child when I was 7. I gave my heart to Jesus as best as I knew how. But sometimes God comes again and says, look, I want everything. I don't want just a child's commitment from you. I want a mature, full-hearted, bold surrender to the things of the kingdom. There's nothing wrong with children praying. I love that. When my kids at school pray to receive Jesus, it's wonderful. But God wants us to come, doesn't He? Say, God, now I'm an adult. Or maybe I'm understanding a bit more. And God, You want all of me. You don't want to share me with drink and with sex and with uncleanness. You want all of me. And I'm coming today to make myself right with You, to come and surrender all that I have to You, to do business with God. Say, God, here am I. I want all of You. Amen. Amen. I believe God wants us to do that today. He's here. He's here. And He loves you. He loves me. Why not? Why not give Him everything? Why not?